The first reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 34. Treasure in heaven. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The second reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 22. The rich and the kingdom of God. Just then, a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask about what is good? Jesus replied. There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which ones? He inquired. Jesus replied, You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these things I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Lovely to see you. My name's Curtis. And we're continuing in our theme, which Sarah set us, the stories from the gospel. And today I'd like to talk to you about the kingdom, treasures, and your heart. And the verses that we're going to focus on, even though we've had our two readings, I want to focus on verse 21 of the first reading. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And in verse 33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Holy Spirit, have your way. Let your kingdom come in this service. Amen. What I'd first like to do is to make sure that we're all on the same page, that we understand what is meant by kingdom, treasure, and your heart. Thinking about the kingdom, let me start with a question. Can anyone name how many countries in the world have a monarchy, have a king or a queen? Two guesses. Can anyone shout out a number? Four? Ten? There are actually 43 countries. in the world today that have a king or queen as a head of state. You'll find them in Europe, Africa, Asia, Oceania, and the Americas in the Caribbean. 15 of these countries have the head of state as King Charles III, who last year began his reign over the United Kingdom. So what is a kingdom? A kingdom is a country, state, or territory ruled by a king or a queen. There's the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, the Kingdom of the Netherlands, the Kingdom, the United Kingdom. However, in the Bible, kingdom additionally refers to sovereignty, the rule, the royal power. Not just the place, but the authority and the reign of the king or queen. On September the 8th, last year, we witnessed the reign of King Charles III begin. But if written in the Bible, we would read, it was the kingdom of King Charles III that began on September the 8th. The reign of God is first referred to on page 1 of the Bible. In Genesis 1 verse 26, we read it says, God says, let us make mankind in our own image, in our own likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and the animals on the earth. In a similar way, King Charles III appoints prime ministers and ministers to administer law and rule in our country. Here we see God in his kingdom appoint humans, Adam and Eve, to rule on his behalf. However, if you know the story, the Bible tells us that humans reject God's divine appointment and decide that they can rule on their own. From then on in, God begins his special mission to restore humans to their rightful place in the kingdom, to rule in the image of God. The arrival of Jesus and his first words tell us about his role in this kingdom restoration mission. God, Jesus, King of Kings, announces in Mark 1 verse 14, the time has come, he says. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe this good news. The ministry of Jesus begins declaring that the heavenly reign of God has come near, has come close, has come within capture for people again to get a grip of God's kingdom. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What is treasure? The definition of treasure can be someone or something or a collection of things that are of great value or worth. There are some things that are seen as treasures to us all, bars of gold and rooms full of rubies and diamonds. However, as we so often see on Antiques Roadshow, what some people see as treasure, that dear ornament passed down by grandma through the generations, has a value of nothing to someone else. What is the heart? The heart, we know, is the center of all physical life. It pumps blood and oxygen around the body. No heart, no blood, no life. In the Bible, the heart is additionally seen as the center of spiritual life. God tells us that the heart is the source of all of our thoughts, our desires, and our intentions. Your mind, your inner person, is what the Bible refers to when you see the word heart. What does the Bible say about the heart? The heart is where we make our choices and our decisions. Proverbs 16:9 says, in their hearts, humans plan their way. The heart is where our feelings are held. We can feel brokenhearted. We can also feel a heart of joy. It's why we were told in Proverbs 4, we are to guard our hearts above all else, because everything we do flows from it. Your heart is where Jesus lives. The Apostle Paul, praying for his followers in Ephesians, he prays for his followers that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. And Jesus himself says that we are to love the Lord with all our hearts, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. Anyone who loves an orderly home knows that in any place of storage, you must keep the same things of categories together. Now, I must confess, this is not one of my strengths. But at least in our house, we don't keep muddy boots in the fridge. Or we don't keep dried beans in the fruit bowl. In the same way, what we store in our hearts should be of the same value, of the same composition. Otherwise, there is a risk of contamination. What are you storing in your hearts today? Is there room for Jesus to flourish and dwell, or is he having to climb through all the dark in amongst all the other collector items that you have there? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verses 19 and 20 of our first reading says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. So what are the different types of treasures available for us? The treasures of this world are wide-ranging, according to the Bible. For everything of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from God, from the Father, but comes from the world. Jesus warns us about these treasures in this reading. He says, the lust of the flesh, do not worry about what you will eat or wear. The lust of the eyes, he says we should keep our eyes focused on the light and not on darkness. And the lust of the world, he says that we cannot serve both God and money. Jesus knows that chasing after these treasures brings conflict. We see that with all the wars going on now. The love of treasures on this earth, of land and territory, brings conflict. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life, we read in Romans chapter 8. However, for some of us today, or maybe even watching online, our treasures may not be physical items. It might not be our bank balance or our pension pot. There might be other things that we value above all else. Maybe there's earthly treasures as our careers and our qualifications, our education. Take away your job title, and there goes your peace. Your earthly treasures may be even be your own opinion. As long as they do it my way, then I'm okay. Maybe it might be the treasures of your treasures might be the opinions of others. Worrying all the time, what do they think of me? And we even bring it to church. We can't worship fully because what would others think if I raised both my hands? Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So let's talk about treasures in heaven, because there are many. When we accept Jesus as our King, we receive the treasure that is the Holy Spirit, a helper, a comforter, a guide, that person that administers God's wisdom in our lives, a source of power, a source of love, a source of sound mind and discipline. In God's kingdom, piled high all around you are treasures such as God's grace, treasures such as God's love, treasures such as God's forgiveness. The Psalms 23 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, not one day, all the days of my life. Another treasure from heaven is actually having a purpose. Having a purpose. No longer do we need to wander around seeking the meaning of life. when you are in the kingdom, you are restored to your rightful place to rule and represent God on earth like humans were made to do. In death, or when God returns to claim this earth, whichever happens first, we will live in the treasure that is called eternal life. We will be with God and we will be his people. Some of you may know that in December last year, at Christmas, just before Christmas, my beautiful little sister died, Melissa, at the age of 38. And I thank you for everyone who's been praying for us. Please don't stop praying. And it's been heartbreaking for my mum and dad, and for her four children, and for all of us, the rest of the family, as we try to come to terms with her, with the loss. During those first days of shock and mourning, we crawled through puddles of tears, searching for answers to the question, how, why, and what next? But God, in our grief, reminded us that Melissa found his treasure. A treasure that could not be left in any will. A treasure that could not be divided amongst her children. For it was stored in heaven, where thieves could not get to it, where moths could not get to it, where rust could not get to it. Melissa had found the treasure of eternal life. So at the funeral, as we stood there and lowered her down to her grave, we were able to remember her act of faith. And rather than look down to hell, we were able to look up to heaven. Because that's where we knew she was resting. She found the treasure that is called eternal life. If you know for sure that you have this treasure called eternal life, I invite you to join me in a round of applause right now as an act of worship to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our second reading is the gospel story that sometimes is labeled Jesus Counsels the Young Ruler. This young man comes to Jesus and asks in Matthew 19, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Thinking it was all about him, what must I do to get life after death? What must I do to have a life of purpose? Perhaps some of us has come to church today, like the man came to Jesus, with the same burning questions. What must I do to get to heaven? Maybe you're watching online. What must I do to have a better life? Well, Jesus gives him the same answer that I can give you today. You don't have to do anything apart from follow Jesus with all your heart. You don't have to do anything other than seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus done it all when he died on the cross for us. It's why we will celebrate communion later, because it's because of his body and his blood that we have eternal life. Verse 22 tells us of the young ruler's reaction when he heard Jesus say, follow me, sell all you have. He went away sad because he had great wealth. He had great wealth. And Jesus' response is best recorded in the Gospel of Mark's account of the rich young ruler. He says, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? How hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? The young ruler's trust and treasure was his wealth, and he didn't want to give it up. What are you treasuring in your heart this morning that's holding you back from being all out for God, being on fire for God? What's holding you back? God wanted me to make clear today that there is a battle for your attention. And there is a battle for space in your heart. And he wants all of your attention. And he wants all of your heart. If you are willing to change your priorities, to simply follow Jesus, God's Holy Spirit is here today for you to receive. Jesus proclaimed, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." But we have to seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. And these things will be given to us. Let me close by using the same words that Jesus closed his Sermon on the Mount. He says in chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, "Therefore, if anyone hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the steam rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because his foundation was on the rock." Today, church, I encourage you, if you are not a Christian, build your house on the rock. If you are a Christian, please check that you are building your house on the rock. Build on the rock that is eternal life. Build on the rock that is the most precious treasure in heaven. Build on the rock that is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our King. Amen. Amen. Before Ian comes, I'd just like to say a blessing over you. The Lord bless you. May he shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you. The Lord show you where he needs to be number one. And the Lord give you peace by releasing you from your strongholds. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.